10K a day giveaway continues. You can win $1,000 at the top of the hour between now and 3 o'clock. Really, it started an hour ago. You can text a code word. We'll give you the code word during the break. So no flipping. I tell you that anyways, but now flipping could cost you a grand. Text the code to 80787. That code word win $1,000. According to at least one NFL executive of a team that has a top 10 pick, Myles Garrett might not be that number one pick, saying, quote, don't be surprised. The Browns have not made up their minds, according to Adam Schefter via sources. It appears to be between defensive end Myles Garrett and quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky.
The Niners own the number two selection. Kyle Shanahan and some of his staff both flew to North Carolina to work with Trubisky last week. They also had Deshaun Watson in this week as well. Trubisky's been jumping up the boards. Trubisky's the only quarterback that Shanahan has personally worked out, which is interesting. Most mock drafts have the Niners taking Solomon Thomas now at the number two spot. Who the hell knows? But my goodness gracious. I mean, the Browns have the 12 pick.
I think Mitch is going to be around.
I think so, too.
I really do.
And if he's not, Deshaun Watson will be around. And if not, it's 707. You can save money on Shell gasoline. Just text the word Dave to 83835 now. Save 25 cents off your second fill-up. So stay tuned there.
I mean, I hope they do. It'd be great for the Niners to get Garrett.
Coming up in three for Madness at 7:17, we're going to talk about Richard Sherman. Apparently, the price is falling on him. So when we put these,
I don't know what to believe in this whole Richard Sherman thing right now.
You believe me, Katie?
I don't. I mean,
when
really
in doubt,
tend to do that.
When in doubt, just believe what I say.
That's what I do.
Thank you. See, and it works out just fine,
Nate,
for Nate.
Quit sucking up.
That's not sucking up. That's just a fact. I'll tell you what. Richard Jefferson wasn't sucking up during this interview yesterday. Oh!
Yikes. What was that from?
Oh!
Dang it. I missed like the last 10 seconds. My earphones came out. Ugh.
Richard said, you said the last 10 seconds?
Yeah.
All right. Just for you, Katie.
Well, ooh.
Well, I mean, okay. Old Dickie Jeff getting loose.
Who was he talking to?
I don't know.
I don't know, but good for Richard Jefferson, because that is continually the dumbest ongoing thing in sports, that guys aren't allowed to have any sort of life outside the lines. And then you throw on top of that the fact that this is LeBron James. He is the greatest basketball player on the planet. He is the most dominant athlete in his sport in the world, and has been pretty much since he came into the league. Like, I think he pretty much gets to do whatever he wants.
Let me break something to you guys.
Uh-oh, break it.
When a player goes out the night before a game, it's not like when you and I go out the night before the radio show that starts at 6 a.m., you know? It's like this game starts at 7:30. You get up, you go to shoot around at like 10, big deal. You walk around, you go. And I used to take four-hour naps before games. Like, it's not... And he didn't play. It's not like he didn't play because he was hungover from being at the club the night before. He didn't play because this is the whole state of the NBA with resting.
Let me just say that
people
I agree with both of you 100%. So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I agree with you. I really do. But let me ask you. I'm just going to take like the worst possible scenario. Let's say that Bobby Jackson came in studio, okay? And when we were talking to Bobby, somehow the conversation got around to, you know, of course, Game 7, 2002. And Bobby really for the first time let out that what was funny is the night before that Game 7, which went to overtime here in Sacramento, that he and six or seven of the players, including all the starters and big boys, were at Chris Webber's restaurant until 3 in the morning having fun. And then they fell asleep. They all got sleep. They all did whatever. And then they went out and they lost in overtime to the Lakers. Would anybody have a right to be upset at that?
No.
No, Nate, no. Katie?
No, but they will be.
I'm asking if they have a right. Of course they're going to
be
upset.
These are adult humans, man.
They lose in overtime.
That does not matter. So LeBron James has lost games too, but you know what? He's got three rings, and he's been to six straight conference finals. I don't know, man. To me, end of the story is a grown-ass man. Does he show up to do his job?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
end of story.
That's LeBron.
So
that's
you
where
need
I was
everyone.
Asking.
You need everyone to be tucked in bed by 10 o'clock, and wake up and have their oatmeal by a certain amount. Like, in order for you to take out any questions about the outcome of a game, you need it to meet a certain, like, check
a
certain boxes.
Level.
Yeah, like they said their prayers before they went to bed.
No,
they gargled, they flossed, even, you know.
I think LeBron James, that's why I brought up the Kings situation, because they didn't have rings and they lost the game. You know, and that's I was going extreme.
Were they partying?
Were the Kings?
Yeah.
I don't know. But my point
well,
is
Dave don't start none.
Is in this fantasy world, I just wonder if it's an absolute blast. Just do the rules that we look at with LeBron James, and I'm in total agreement with you guys. I don't care if LeBron James was out raising chickens until 2 the next day and pulling an all-night chicken-raising bender. Whatever the hell he's doing, I don't care because he's LeBron James. But if it's somebody that is not proven, that does not have the track record like him, like, for example, the 2002 Kings— just to bring it home, is it different?
Well, even if it's your rookie, like, everyone is not equal in professional sports, Dave.
Okay.
Everyone is not equal.
Okay, so that's where I was going.
But to me, the league takes care of those things, right?
Exactly.
You're not in the conference finals.
Those people weed
themselves
out.
So then as a fan, you say you're not in the conference finals if stuff like that is happening.
Or if you are, who cares? I
right.
mean, dude, it's not like Ty Lawson's no rookie. Okay, I mean, he's been through it. We know what he does in his free time. He's a grown ass man. All right, he had a triple double last night.
He did.
Whatever, dude.
He did. He did 100%.
I ain't gonna make him blow into a breathalyzer, but I know he showed up and did his job well.
Triple double. They won the game. I tend to side with you. If you're doing your job, really don't care what you do as long as it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, but as long as there's winning and losing in sports and there's people like us sitting back and dissecting everything and fans dissecting everything, you're never going to be able to make everybody happen.
Well,
or happy.
Yeah,
sorry.
I also don't know where we got on this narrative. We got a break here, but
it's your fault, Dave.
No, I'm talking Probably. About this narrative of, like, how dare the media, how dare fans, how dare all that. Like, there's a point where the media and fans are stupid.
No, that question specifically is trying to start crap in that locker room. Idiotic question.
We're also starting to act, though, like there's no right to straight up ask these players pretty much anything you want because they're getting paid by the fans to play a game.
But isn't it kind of condescending to imply that it's any of your business what they do off the
floor? I think the fans have a right. I do. Yeah. I think if it's affecting gameplay, it's the fans that are paying them $20 million a year to dribble a basketball. Guess what? I'm sorry, you're going to have an uncomfortable question.
No, it's an owner that's paying them $20
right.
million to dribble
well,
a basketball.
Sure.
And the fans pay the owners so that
yes.
they can come and watch.
The
so
owner's the middleman.
Yes.
That's fine. It's still coming from the fans. We'll take a break. We'll talk about this more, actually, at 8 o'clock. Let's do that.
Carmichael Dave, fan.
You're damn right. Sort of. Three for Madness is next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Best part of the Kings season. Ready, go.
All right, I'm not going to be snarky here and say it's over.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. The best part is the youth, really. It's the emergence of Scalabissiere. It's the development of Willie Cauley-Stein. I honestly think for the first time in a long time, I feel like the Kings fell into the development of DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. They would have done that no matter what. Uh-huh. I really do feel like they developed Scal, and they developed Papianis, and they have developed Willie, and then Buddy Hield comes in and has been better as a King than he was as a Pelican. I think going into the offseason, those are the things, along with Dave Yeager and that coaching staff, I'm going to be excited about for next year.
The best part of this Kings season was the trade of DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's going to maybe piss some people off and maybe even you, Dave, because the reality of the situation is I love DeMarcus. I absolutely do. But he was here for 6.5 seasons, and I think it's better for both parties. And I talked to him about it at one point before the whole thing happened. You know, it's like, have you ever thought about the possibility that things just might be better in another city where you can wipe the slate clean and you can try all over. To me, it was sad to see him go, but at least now I have a clear understanding of where this organization is headed. And I kind of like the timing of it, just for the sense, Nate, that you're going to be developing and hopefully do a good job at it, developing and drafting. And it's going to start to come to fruition right when the Cavs and the Warriors are on the decline.
There is no question that trading DeMarcus Cousins was the best part of this season. And I agree with almost everything you said, Katie, except for feeling bad about seeing him go. I'm not. I'm glad he's gone. This is exactly what I needed after 6.5 years as a fan. Hit the reset button and give me a couple of months like we've had as like an incubation period, as a step away kind of like, you know what? No expectations, no hopes, no nothing. Start fresh next season. I needed that.
Both of you. Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, I hate DeMarcus.
Yeah. Should the NBA have let Tony Romo play?
No. No. This is ridiculous. Here's my thing. I read something about, it was some like columnist in Dallas who was just basically all over Romo's junk about how much he loves him and all this stuff. And the NBA is horrible for not letting him play. It's like, really? It's like all he needed is some love from Dallas. Well, he got it. And I don't care if people want to hate on Romo for, you know, his career as a quarterback for the Cowboys or what. He got paid. He was successful. And he walked straight off the field into the booth and took the one chair. Like, I don't have sympathy for Tony Romo, and Nate, he looks stupid in the basketball uniform.
Well, everybody does. I don't see why they couldn't have let him play. I don't get why
it's
it
dumb.
Had to be a big deal. Why? Who
it's
cares?
Just dumb. What's the point? Are you going to think it's Dirk going to walk onto the field and play for the Cowboys?
Well,
unlikely.
If they want him to, who cares? Well,
it's dumb to me.
And here's the thing.
This comes to labor laws and stuff like that.
I really am split because, and the only reason I'm split is because does it set a precedent? And then are we seeing this all the time? But Katie,
we're gonna have like Kevin Hart suit up for the Kings, and then like it's
this,
just
Katie.
Gonna become a complete like a circus.
Can I ask you some?
No, you
so
can't.
Can I ask you some true or false questions?
No, you can't.
That only elicit either a true or
false.
Would Dallas Mavericks fans have enjoyed Tony Romo playing last night? True or false?
I'm sure they would have. Yes.
Okay.
True.
So true. All right. So then, why does it matter? I mean, I get that you instinctively want to feel like it's something, but
because
really...
I just think, you know what? I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid because this is just a PR thing. It's a ploy. It's like, yeah, it's great to have him on the sidelines and hugging on Rick Carlisle and out there in his silly warm-ups looking like, you know, he seriously. It's just for me, it's like, fine. I think there comes a point when it's too much of a circus sideshow. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that as an NBA fan. It's like, yeah, have him on the bench, honor him, whatever. I don't need to see him step on the floor. And he's going to be completely embarrassed, you guys. But do you want your heroes to be embarrassed?
Yeah. I think it would have been four minutes of interesting television. I want to hear this.
Just because I have no interest. Remo.
Oh, you hear that? You hear that audience? Here's the thing. We got to move on. But
yeah,
I'll tell you the one thing.
Audience.
The thing I actually – I know, right? The thing I actually got a little upset about last night is that always Dirk Nowitzki is the last guy introduced. He's the last guy introduced,
He
of
was
course.
The last one.
Tony Romo was the last guy introduced in what very likely is Dirk Nowitzki's last home game as a Maverick.
It could absolutely be.
That's really the only thing I thought was kind of goofy. But
and he should be the one that's being honored and the whole thing.
Oh, I have a feeling they'll give him an attaboy or something before it's all said and done. All right, we got to move on. Number three.
So apparently the Seattle Seahawks have been dropping the price for Richard Sherman. Is he a Seahawk next year?
Yes. Yeah, I think he is. This is all talk.
You did agree with me, Nate.
No, it kind of sounds like you're going to be agreeing with me.
I talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you two can go hang out on your island somewhere. I don't think so. I've gone into this whole thing thinking it's much ado about nothing. But now you're hearing Seattle's bringing the price down. Now you're hearing that Richard Sherman and his agent are talking to other teams, trying to facilitate a trade to a contender. At first, I was like, nah. Now, I think there's fire in the smoke, man.
I don't believe that Seattle is dropping the asking price.
Why?
I don't at all.
Why?
Because I just from
you don't
like
feel that way.
No, Dave, from everything I read, and if you want me to go through like the four different articles I read and the different points of view, I just really don't believe that Seattle is stupid enough to drop the asking price for Richard Sherman. Are you kidding me? If they get they went out with like a high bar set for what they would take in return. If they don't get it back, why would they get rid of him? Unless there's something else going on which none of us know about.
That's what I think's going on. There's something
else. What are you basing that on?
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Stop for a second. Like, are you really trying to say that off the field Richard Sherman might be a jerk?
I'm trying to say that on the field, Richard, I actually think he's probably a bigger jerk on the field than off the field. I think they're done. I think they're tired of it, and I don't know to what end when your GM and your coach both publicly acknowledge this. What, they're playing a game of chicken with Richard Sherman, trying to scare him into next year? That's not going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Katie, I'm not saying you're wrong and I'm right. I'm saying I'm more worried now. Worried is the wrong word. I think it's more of a possibility now than I did a week ago.
I mean, it's fair. He's 30, and it's at the point now, if you're the Seahawks, we've said this about him forever. When you're a guy like that, that is constantly writing checks with your mouth, and he's been able to cash them for most of his career, he's at the point now where you have to start wondering, is he not going to be able to back it up anymore? And well, at that point, that, and I've always said this about him, when you're that guy that runs your mouth, you give yourself a shorter shelf life in the league, because once you can't play anymore, you're done.
Let's continue this conversation next. We'll do a lot in this sweep on some football. Dave Fleming coming up at 8:35. Let's continue the Sherman conversation and why it should be a local, at least for the next 2 years, local issue as well when it comes to Oakland Raider fans. We'll do that in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. 7:36, time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word DAVE to 83835 now. Save a quarter off your second fill-up. We told you yesterday Marshawn Lynch may be looking at the Patriots as a backup plan if he comes back instead of the Oakland Raiders. Well, a couple of teenage football fans who saw Marshawn on Monday at LAX, 17-year-old and 18-year-old kid, approached Marshawn and wanted his autograph. This is
Are you sure they weren't trying to take his Skittles?
Well, I don't know, because TMZ got this video. He wasn't a fan of being filmed, and he gave him the stank eye. And then you just see Marshawn walking over to the phone until all you can see is the middle of Marshawn's sweatshirt. And he then knocked the phone out of one of the guy's hands, and it hit the and then he spit on the pavement as he walked away from them. And then they kept filming him, which, listen, what is going on with these kids? If I see Marshawn, I'm a grown man. I'm 6'3". If I see Marshawn Lynch approaching me and gives me the stink eye, I'm putting my phone down. I'm certainly not going to go to the point where he slaps it out of my hand. And then once it's slapped out of my hand, not picking it back up and filming him again.
Probably the end of that story.
Right. So there could be, he's still technically, in the NFL crosshairs. So there's some, could there be some, if he comes back now, is there going to be a fine?
Ugh.
There's some, ugh. Everybody did that at the same time.
I mean,
so there's some thought there. We were talking about another Seahawk, Richard Sherman. So according to reports, Armando Salguero, the Miami Herald, reported the Seahawks are looking for now a very good player and a high pick in the draft. That was the original report. Now Mike Garofalo of NFL Media says the Seahawks want a first-round pick in 2017 and a conditional mid-round pick in 2018, pointing a little bit to the Darrell Revis deal from 2013. He went to Tampa for the 13th overall pick in the draft and a third-rounder the next year if Revis was on the roster in March. Now, thought being, this could go all the way down to just simply a first-round pick. And I'll go back to what we said earlier. If you're the Oakland Raiders and you have, the 24, I think? You're on the phone with Seattle, aren't you? And you're trying to work out. You're going to eventually have to pay for Marshawn Lynch's rights if you want him. Kill two birds, man.
Yeah, that's the one that makes sense.
Total sense.
Doesn't it seem weird, though? I mean, regardless of this situation, to have NFL media reporting on these type of rumors?
Yeah.
Maybe this is too perverse a term, but isn't it kind of incestuous to, like, to have these guys that are paid by the league spreading rumors, like, basically from their employer to get, what, clicks? Like, to funnel traffic towards their site?
Well, I mean, I guess NBA.com does it, don't they?
A lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, most leagues do. And
better them get the clicks and the ad revenue than the B?
I suppose so. To me, when I hear NFL media is reporting such and such out of Seattle, I have to view it with skepticism.
No, I understand. And that could be also GMs looking for favors, agents looking for favors.
I mean, do it the old-fashioned way and use Peter King.
Yeah, seriously. That's why, I don't know, information is so readily available. It's a click away. You can go and Google something and a bunch of different stories will pop up. But it doesn't mean that what you're reading is true, or you have to also start looking at who's saying this and why. Well,
that's
it.
I mean, to me, I know I overanalyze these things, but to me it's almost condescending for them to say, or any league for that matter, to produce their own news. It comes across more as promotional than anything else. And it's so blatant to... for them to literally put NFL media on it, to me, it's almost insulting.
We're all in agreement as we exit the freeway here that this isn't turning into the topic I thought it would be because I think we're all in agreement here. If you're Richard McKenzie, you're making a run at Richard Sherman hard, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're making a hard run at him. Are we all in agreement that the number 24 pick is you're willing to give that up for Richard Sherman or no?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because of the situation, like if I were San Francisco, I wouldn't do it.
Sure.
Because it's just the difference in the situation. I really, truly think, and it's so sad because of what happened in terms of injuries to them, to the Raiders last year, because there's no telling what would have happened in the playoffs if Carr had been healthy, right?
Right.
I think we're all in agreement that, especially after what we saw last season, that the Raiders are very close to being a Super Bowl contention team. So, yeah.
They might be a Richard Sherman away.
Yeah. You make a move like that. You give up a draft pick, a 24 pick or whatever it is, because he is just that good. But if you're a team that's developing and you still have a ways to go, it's a waste.
No, I completely agree. That makes no sense for a team like the Niners to grab him.
Well, and especially the fit, too, when we had Chris on Landry and he was telling us about, Sherman is a guy that not necessarily just a scheme player, but there's a very specific job that he does with Seattle that allows him to excel. Oakland runs the same thing.
Right. Exactly. And he's the best corner in the game. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Patrick. He's the best corner in the game.
You were talking about Patrick Peterson?
Yes.
I still think he's overrated.
Peterson is?
I mean, he's good, but like I've just watched him cooked by Michael Crabtree so many times.
He's good. He's tremendous, and he very well may be the second best.
But you can't get roasted by Crabtree every matchup.
Richard Sherman will just straight take you out of the game. Mm-hmm. And once in a generation, you have a guy like that. You have a Darrell Revis in his prime. You have a Richard Sherman in his prime. You have a Deion Sanders in his prime. You have a guy, seems like once every cycle, that you just put on their best receiver, and that's it.
And that's it.
They have to beat you elsewhere. You're losing your guy. You're losing Richard Sherman. Because he's not going to be heard from, and that receiver's not going to be heard from, and now it's 10-on-10.
Game plan half the field.
Katie, you have not been high on the Cleveland Cavaliers coming out of the East. You've been vocal about that. And
I think they're in trouble. I don't think it's as locked in as everyone thinks it is.
Well, Nate has maybe the biggest reason why the Cleveland Cavaliers could be in
trouble. Is this one of your off-air things when I'm not there?
No.
Dave and I have kind of turned on this, Katie, because even with all of the on-court stuff and then, LeBron speaking to the media, whatever, we've all written it off. You've been waving the red flag at us the whole time. Mm-hmm. Here's what finally spun us. An interview with ES Magazine. Khloe Kardashian, speaking of her boyfriend Tristan Thompson, said, quote, "I would love to have a family. We've talked about it." Asked if she would accept a marriage proposal, she responded, quote, "Yes, I would." She also went on to say in the interview that she would consider starting a family with Thompson. So Khloe Kardashian pushing Tristan Thompson to get married and bring her some babies.
Wait, hold on. I thought they were already engaged. Didn't that happen like really quickly?
No.
I mean, seriously, because I felt like it happened before the season started, and I tweeted out, it's officially over. The Cavaliers will not win the NBA title this year.
They're out. Well, I mean, I know they got together. I don't think they were
engaged
yet, but...
Dude, I could be wrong.
Is there ever a family that has made their way through NBA rosters like the Kardashians?
No, not that we know of.
Dude... What kind of world is it?
And not like, even like not even like the NBA, just professional sports. Like, what is the deal with that?
Can you imagine telling TMZ or whoever that's how you communicate that you'd accept a marriage proposal? I mean, what is wrong with people, man? Hey, you know what? If you ask me, I totally accept. I want babies. Run. Run, Tristan. Run for the hills. She ruined James Harden for a year. Look at him this year.
Where does the thirst for Khloe Kardashian content come from, by the way? Why, like, why?
People
what
who like big butts.
To this?
I like big
butts. I don't know.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I am team big butt, okay? But it doesn't mean I want to hear what they have to say.
TDB. You got the hat like the Ball family, but it's TBB.
Yeah, TBB.
Listen, and I'm married to someone with a rather larger posterior. I'm not afraid of it as many people.
It's not that large though.
No, I don't
trust
mean large like
that.
Grossly. I'm just saying she got a bubble butt. What do you want from me?
But it's not Kardashian level. I'm just clarifying for our listeners who are not familiar with your wife's posterior.
How would you rate it, Katie? 1 to 10.
Let's not do this.
I'm not rating your wife's butt. It's a nice try though.
You're the expert.
Dave, continue your thought.
No, I want to let it hang for a while and just be uncomfortable. Here's the thing. She ruined James Harden. She's ruining Tristan Thompson.
And what about the guy that came here from Minnesota to play for the Kings? She dated him, and he never played again.
I thought the other one was, Humphreys.
Chris Humphreys.
No, that's Kim. I'm talking about Khloe dated a dude that came in a trade from Minnesota. And she was dating him. She was sitting courtside, and he did not play in the league again after that year. Shooting guard.
Khloe Minnesota.
Dave, it would have been
Rashad McCants?
Yes!
Yeah! Dude, wow. And I always wondered why he never got a job, because he came here. He was the guy I was going to say when we were talking about Ty Lawson getting Rashad McCants syndrome. McCants came here either... I can't remember if he got traded in a salary dump right at the deadline.
I think it... But didn't that have something to do with Kevin Martin?
I think it did, but it was basically a straight salary dump. He was on an expiring contract, and he came here and shot the ball every time it touched his hands for like the last 2 months of the season.
I'm actually, quite frankly, disappointed in both of you. Let's be real here, guys. Or as Katie likes to say, the reality of this situation is this. Tristan Thompson's an NBA champion, and I'm uncomfortable with this question. That to even think that what Tristan Thompson does off the floor says anything about his professionalism or what he brings on the floor.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know what you people are insinuating here, but to think that Khloe Kardashian could possibly affect a professional like Tristan Thompson is just ridiculous.
No, we're saying that her status as a succubus overrides all the laws of nature.
Here's Richard Jefferson
again,
by the way.
Thank you, Nate, for putting it correctly.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys have an issue with poor Tristan Thompson, who everyone's texting, by the way.
Oh, my God, Dave. You're such a tool.
Did everyone say, well, we can't question LeBron James going to a club, but
no,
Tristan Thompson's
not,
in love.
We're not questioning him. We're clearly stating that she is some kind of, what did you call it, Dave?
A succubus.
That
was Nate.
Transcendent.
Sorry, Nate. Yeah.
By the way, we've got about 500 texts saying Lamar Odom's on line 3. He dated Khloe as well.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
So there's that. I mean,
dude, she should be banned from NBA arenas.
You think Adam Silver should just drop the band hammer on her?
Yes.
Just drop
Charles
it.
Oakley did nothing wrong. This woman is ruining careers.
Like, honestly, like, if you're competing against a team and you're an owner, like, wouldn't you the number one thing you want to do, like, if I'm Boston, if I'm Danny Ainge, I want Khloe Kardashian to date Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, this needs to happen.
Like, we can just throw her around the league at rivals. She just goes to the highest bidder. Whoever's going to date her, you're screwed for that year, no pun intended.
You know, Klay Thompson's susceptible. I'm just saying. He's had some lady issues.
This also happened in the NBA yesterday.
Boo!
Here's what he said before the game.
Oh, he gets the one chair and he takes over.
So we were talking earlier.
Can't wait for his game analysis, Nate.
And Scroogey McChristensen didn't like the idea of Tony playing, whereas Nate and I were more indifferent. Like, hey, I'll let him in for 2 minutes in a 14-point loss. Let him in for a minute. Let him take a shot. Let the fans go wild.
Whatever.
There will never be an
this
NBA
is not the
game.
YMCA.
That is more meaningless than last night's game in Dallas.
Really? Not even ours?
Well, there will be many that are equal.
To your point, Katie, when you say this is not the YMCA, there was about 48 minutes of YMCA at Gold One Center last night. So that leads me to, I started thinking, which
is
always
kind of rad if they started doing a, like, win a spot on the bench for the last game of the year.
Right?
Thing.
Oh, yes. No, see, this is the problem. The moment that you let somebody like Tony Romo do this, right, this is when teams, like the business side, is going to start taking it to the extreme.
So, right, teams are going to stop caring about winning and making money. Right. I mean, it's going to be madness.
I mean, really, though, what are they going to do? Violate the sanctity of basketball games?
Dude.
I mean, we're not allowing him on the National Security Council. We're talking about the last game of the year.
My God.
We're talking about, well, this is the thing, and this is where I'm going to turn that former player garbage back on you. Here's the thing. This is entertainment, and it means nothing. I understand if playoffs are on the line. You have fans getting bent over by NBA teams and the lottery situation where they have to go and pay to watch YMCA basketball. So how in the hell can
this is exactly what All-Star Week is for.
But finish and then let me finish.
No.
How could anybody possibly have an issue with somebody like Tony Romo or, I don't care, fan in the fourth row who won the drawing getting to come in and play 30 seconds in the last game of the year? Why? Because we're ruining the sanctity of the sport. Bend over and smell your own farts some more, please.
Oh, my God, Dave. You are such a tool. I love that it's like, let me finish. Now we're going to go to break.
We're not going to break. You got time.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to break. He's just playing music.
I don't care what you say. I think that the moment that you crack open this Pandora's box of just absolute circusry, okay, I don't even know if that's a word. I'm totally making it up right now. It's going to be, you know what? It's like the dogs and the cats that are taking over the Twitter accounts and stuff. It's next. We're going to have a dog suited up in a uniform. This is where this crap goes.
Yay, have you ever seen a little movie called Air Bud? It's fantastic.
Thank you. Katie, let's not go overboard. We're talking about the last minute of a game.
I don't like it. You can like
it. Well, you
don't.
And if don't you wanna,
berate if, me for not agreeing
you.
With you.
I mean, if you want to put your fingers in your ears and go, I get it.
That's
fine.
Your fingers
but
up your...
Let's deal with reality and logic for a second.
Okay.
The last minute...
You know what, Dave? Why don't we have the fans vote on it?
I would absolutely love to put that
poll
out.
Have the fans vote on it, and then they can also start voting like the stupid football team or whatever the league that's in where they vote which play is going to be run. They vote who signed to the contract. Let's open this whole thing up because it's not the National Basketball Association. It's not a $1 billion business. Let's just make it a fan league. It can be like the real life version of like FanDuel.
That's
and people
exactly
can vote for who's
about.
Playing and what
yes.
plays are ran.
That's,
like it's
that's
just,
apples
come
to
on.
Apples. What you're saying is totally apples to apples, Katie. It's not the last minute of the last game of the season where somebody gets to come in for 1 minute.
You don't have to agree with me.
I'm not agreeing.
But
I'm
changing
about,
my mind.
Well, of course not. And that is a phenomenal way to debate. I have no fact or logic behind me, but I'm not going to ever budge because I don't want to. That makes a ton of sense. I'll put the poll out. Last minute, last game of the season, Do you have a problem as an NBA fan with an athlete slash fan getting to be a player for a day? Is that the fair question?
But Dave, then it's not just that. You just open it up to anybody because then it's gonna be Kevin Hart.
Sure.
It's gonna be
Sure. Whatever.
Sure. Open it up.
Last minute, last game of the season. Maybe somebody buys it for charity. How about that?
Sure.
Maybe the fans get to vote from a list of five people who they want to put in.
No, what we're going to see is, some actor or actress that's starring in a new Star Wars film this summer.
It's going to be something.
Yeah, and it's going to be, that's exactly what it's going to
be. It's going to turn promotional.
It's going to be the next Fox sitcom the next night. Matthew McConaughey's upcoming movie.
Hold on. If we're going to do that, we need to make sure that we get sitcom stars, since you brought up Fox playing in NFL games.
You know, I wish we had more time
Kevin
on
James
this.
James plays halfback for the Jets this weekend.
I want to know. Damn. All right. We got Sean Salisbury next. Dave Fleming at 8:30. We'll try to sneak in a couple of that, because I have offshoots of this question. Like, what team or sport would you be for a day? Like, what would you pick? Right. And then anything out of sports, like, would you rather be the singer of your favorite rock band for a day or the forward for the Sacramento Kings, for example? That's what's in my mind. I don't know. I'd do it. I'd love to do it. Let me be a king for a day. Screw you, Katie. Stop stepping on my joy. We'll take a break. We're back in 3 minutes with Sean Salisbury on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.